Thank you. And so, know that this is a continuation of the series about bliss. Happiness has no end. And if you couldn't tell by Reverend Rogers' beautiful choice, today's topic is about surrender. Oh, thank you, sir. I'll move this over this way. And so while I rearrange the stage here a little bit, even though this is about surrender, thank you, Tony, I ask you not to surrender to the smells coming up from the kitchen. I don't know if you're like, what is that smell? And the smell is that I believe we have two ovens and they're both cooking something for Miss Reverend Jackie Hawkins back there. So don't surrender to it yet, after service. And so, you know, surrender is one of those words that you're just like, oh, I can feel it. We're talking about surrender. Oh, at least that was me in my youth. Because I was rebellious. I know you guys wouldn't think that of me. But to surrender to anything, wow, and this thing that I couldn't see or couldn't understand, I couldn't get it. But we're going to talk about surrender is the greatest form of coming to your bliss. Now, a lot of times when we think about bliss, especially when we're talking about nirvana, I say this all the time, but I think it is worth saying all the time. It isn't some drug-induced consciousness thing that is having you like a drug. It isn't like being blitzed out of your consciousness. No, it's a deeper sense of consciousness. It's a deeper sense of knowing who you are so that you have contentment. Contentment is more of an accurate form of what nirvana is. Satisfaction with life. And so surrender becomes this wonderful part of being satisfied with your life. And so many times with surrender, I'd like to talk a little bit, combine Buddhism with unity. For so many times, we don't realize, and I found this quote, that we are imprisoned in the present moment for eternity. Your body cannot escape the now. I found it interesting. Imprisoned in the present moment. The reality is that even though that is a fact, it sounds reasonable, the thing that will take us away from our bliss all the time is our want to be someplace else. We are always constantly, we as the oneness, are constantly trying to get something that we used to have or we wish we had, and not being satisfied right here, right now. That can be in any particular subject. It could be about love in your life. It could be about your health. It could be about your wealth. Whatever it is, we're constantly looking elsewhere other than the present moment. Because the mind pretends, the ego pretends that we can live in that space. I don't know about you. I think most of you know that I was an artist in my past life on earth in this incarnation. And so as a child, and I still have a great imagination, and I would sit and just imagine how I wanted my life to be. And there for a moment, I would live there. I would live there for hours, and then at some point in time, I'd had to come back to the present reality. And it's fine to have goals. It's great to have goals. It's great to have dreams. But there's a difference between having dreams and living in those dreams, trying to pretend that you're in those dreams on a constant basis and not appreciating the present moment here and now. I love what Eckhart Tolle says. He says, always say yes to the present moment. What could be more futile, more insane than to create inner resistance to what already is? What could be more insane than to oppose life itself, which is now and always now? Say yes to life and see how life suddenly starts working for you rather than against you. So the surrender that we talk about is surrendering to this moment and not having any sort of internal battle against the present moment. In Kansas City, I had my teacher. That's where I started my Buddhism. I had a hands-on teacher. Most Buddhist students don't have a hands-on teacher. You go to a retreat, you sit down, as I talked about last week. They ask you a question, you get dinged, you get sent out. That's about the extent of it. I was blessed in that every week, my mind was blown by my teacher as we walked around a pond in a park. And he would ask me how life was going. And as a young student, I would talk about what things were happening and why I was having resistance to this and resistance to that. And he would always ding me in that it was always about I was somewhere else. I was always sad because something else wasn't happening or something happened in the past, like yesterday. And he would go, "Dear Crystal," and he put his hands in the back, "why do you continue to live in your yesterday? Why do you continue to try to look to your future when the present moment," he would do, "the present moment has so much in it right now. Be here with me right now. Look at what's happening right now. If you were here with me right now, you would have too much to do, to experience with your senses, too much to hear, too much to see, too much to smell, to even worry about anything other than this moment. Because the reality is that you and most of us don't appreciate it, this present moment." And he was right. Think about this present moment. How many colors are there to experience? Not just my voice, even though I do love your undivided attention. Thank you very much. Yet, there is so much that is living right here, right now, that once you really get to that, it's easy just to release and let it go. Whatever we're fighting, that is life right now. And once we do that, nirvana sets in. Peace sets in. Contentment, satisfactory sets in when we just stay within this moment. Now, I looked at Patricia, thank you. We're talking about two of the noble truths, the first and the second. The first one is, as you guys have heard me talk about, the first noble truth is that, you know, there's discontentment, dissatisfaction in each and every one of our worlds. I mean, people can say, yeah, there's some things in my life that I'm just not satisfied with, yeah? And because of that, whatever I'm holding on to, there's some pain, there's some suffering there, yeah? Yeah? It's all right, speak your truth, you're in church. That is the human experience. It's all right. That's why we go through this. That's why we're here, to reinforce it. The second noble truth tells us about why we're going through the experience. And the reason why is because it's a natural human tendency to blame our difficulties on something else, on something outside of us, on some other thing. But the Buddha says that the actual root is to be found in the mind itself. You know, in particular, our tendency to grasp hold of something that is not real. All right? And so we find ourselves suffering and battling because we don't surrender that our grasp on things. We're holding tight. We're holding tight to an old love and wishing that our new love was what that person was. Or sometimes we can release that very quickly because they were bad for us, but we're holding on to some high ideal. And we're passing up that person who's in the here and the now, who's present. Passing up job opportunities. Passing up a lot of things because we're holding too tight to a limited vision when God has so much waiting for you right here, right now. If we could open up our eyes and just see, if we can open up our minds, open up our heart, open ourselves up and say yes to life right here, right now, because life is God, and God only wants you to have the best, and we will not be able to receive it so long as we're grabbing a hold of yesterday, grabbing a hold of tomorrow, and not appreciating that God's greatness is right here, right now. So if you are having trouble surrendering, I advise you to allow your fears to rise. I know in the Western world, that's all we do is that we escape, try to stop the fear, stop. But I'm telling you, yes, face your fears directly. Be in this present moment. See if your fear is coming from a fear of loss, a fear of separation from spirit or source, because actually that is where it's coming from. You know, Charles Fillmore, we're going to talk about sin, because actually Charles Fillmore says that that is the original sin. Now, I know I talk about sin missing the mark. I finally found a quote from Charles from Healing, Christian Healing, where it says, sin is missing, is a missing of the mark. And we miss the mark by not having faith. So sin is being error thinking. And so the original sin, we are taught, is Adam taking the bite and seeing otherness. I'm not going to go through the full metaphysical interpretation, but the reality is that once Adam took that bite, there was a separation from God. So the original sin, the original error of mankind is thinking that we are separate from God. Our original sin, our Adam consciousness, continues to have us thinking that we are separate from the source of all. Because in actuality, that is what Adam thought. When he took this, all of a sudden he saw God, because he was illumined in the Spirit. Spirit breathed into him. He had breath from the Spirit, as do we. And once he went to the serpent, believed in the serpent, he then saw himself as something other than. There was a separation. That is the truth of the original sin, is that we are the original error of our thinking and our consciousness, is that we are separate from God. So when you face your fears, you really look at them more than likely. I refuse to overgeneralize, but I really am thinking 100% of the time you will find that your source of fear boils down to you feel separate from the true source. And we teach here that the source, which is God, is only good. It's all of it. And not most importantly, God wants its good, because we're the children of the beloved, each and every one of us. And I don't care what you have done, what kind of errors your error thinking have gotten you into error action. And God, with God, it doesn't make a difference. You are the beloved, each and every one of us. And once we go into our fears, face our fears, all of that will just relinquish. We follow it back to a source where it says, I am separate. And once we realize that we are not separate, then we come to a peace. We come to the knowing. So the moment you stop trying to make something happen, bliss, contentment, satisfaction comes forward. For whatever you are doing or trying to surrender, let me tell you, if it isn't working, you're like, Crystal, Reverend Crystal, I've been trying to surrender this, I've been trying to surrender that, I've read all the books, and I've done the things, and it's not working, my advice to you is to do the complete opposite. Truthfully, because if that one thing isn't working, then try the opposite. And usually the opposite is that instead of running away from what we fear, we see it head first and realize it has no power over us. Only the power that we give it. Anything that you fear because there is an illusion in your head that it is the cause of your problem. It is not. There's more you can simply let go. Let God. Let it be easy. I found something by author Debbie Ford in her book, Spiritual Divorce. Divorce as a Catalyst for an Extraordinary Life. I'd love for you to listen to this because it has a lot of juicy pieces in it. Surrender is the ultimate sign of strength and a foundation for a spiritual life. It's a foundation for a spiritual life. Surrendering affirms that we are no longer willing to live in pain. It expresses a deep desire to transcend our struggles and transform our negative emotions. Commands a life beyond our ego, beyond that part of ourselves that is continually reminding us that we are separate, different, and alone. Surrendering allows us to return to our true nature and move effortlessly through the cosmic dance called life. It's a powerful statement that proclaims the perfect order of the universe. For when you surrender your will, you are saying, even though things are not exactly how I'd like them to be, I will face my reality. I will look it directly in the eye and allow it to be here, right here. Surrender and serenity are synonymous. You can't experience one without the other. If it's serenity you're searching for, it's close by. All you have to do is resign as general manager of the universe. Choose to trust that there is a greater plan for you and that if you surrender, it will be unfolded in time. Surrender is the gift you give yourself. It's an act of faith. It's saying that even though I can't see where the river is flowing, I trust it will take me in the right direction. So it's time to surrender our aspects of heaven and hell. To know that they're one coin, but there are parts of our consciousness, for we teach that heaven and hell aren't places outside of ourselves, that they're states of our consciousness that we hold and create. You know, in Psalms 23, it says, even though I walk through the darkest shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are my rod and my staff. Thou shalt comfort me. It's a better knowing that God, no matter what you're going through, having faith that in this present moment, God's got you. God has always got you because we are never separated from that source of truth. Alain de Botton says, don't despair. Despair suggests you are in total control and know what is coming. You don't. Surrender to events with hope. So surrender to this heaven and hell that we're going through, this opposite. And know that you can move forward. Just surrender yourself to the truth. Surrender yourself to your fears. Surrender yourself to the present moment. And know that in this present moment is greatness in every moment. Just realize it, because truly, surrender is the total victory for your soul. Your job is to just sit back, enjoy it, let it happen, let yourself flow through it, whether it seems like a heaven or a hell in this present moment. Stand up to it, knowing that God's will of good is for greatness in every aspect of your life. And see that no matter what is going on, right here, right now, life is wonderful. You know, I'm looking at these beautiful flowers that Jeannie Toth gave us. She is glorious because life is great. And that's wonderful when life is great because she's in abundance. She's talked to her later. Things are happening for her. But even in the moments when things weren't happening, she was always holding on to a positive attitude, always smiling, always expecting a greatness because she saw greatness in this moment. Dearest, your lessons are to continue to grab on to joy, surrender to life because life is good. I'm going to finish this off by sharing you my favorite Sufi poet, Hafiz. And it's called Tripping Over Joy. And I suggest that each and every moment we trip over joy, okay? So what is the difference between your experience or existence? What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? Well, the saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made such a fantastic move that the saint is now continually tripping over joy and busting out in laughter and saying, "I surrender." Whereas, my dear, I am afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves. I ask you to surrender, knowing that the only move you have to make is to open yourself up, listen, allow yourself to pray, because praying, especially the affirmative prayers, allows you to speak and know that there's a communication of divine going back and forth, and knowing that God has you. God is the answer. God has the answer of abundant, fantastic, the most fantastic moves you will ever know in your life. All you need to do is allow the moves to happen, see it, and laugh for joy instead of thinking that we need to do it all ourselves. Go into meditation. Go into that sweet peace and silence and be. You know, the song that we just said, you have nothing to do. You don't. All you need to do is in the silence, just be still. No. Realize that in the moment, the key to meditation is our capabilities to release and let go of the walls that we have built up, that form of separation, that illusion of separation that we have with God, and realize that we are no longer separate. So in surrender our forms and our thoughts that we are separate, not just from ourselves, but especially from our Mother, Father, God. God surrounds us. God is within us. God is. We are. And so, well, thank you, Terry. And so let us say our affirmation for the week together. I am freely allowing and enjoying this moment. Allow that to soak in, because a lot of times we don't freely allow anything. Oh, let that vibration come in. Breathe it in, and let's say that one more time together. I am freely allowing and enjoying this moment. And so it is. Amen. Amen.